The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. I am scrolling through because I've been using my commercial breaks a little differently than I would have otherwise.
Not folding socks and crocheting, reading articles. Hey, what are you doing differently? I guess is my question.
Would you say you've been a bit of a bully today?
I think I've been. I'm having a great time today. I don't know if you are. It's been a fun show.
Yes, you've been a peach.
Yeah, you've been peachy. Yeah.
I have been peachy. That's fair.
Like Jesse's shirt. I do not see in this story on ESPNWisconsin.com anything about which coach is has the most to prove or under the most pressure. I see unheralded players. I have rookies. I have which key assistant coach is most likely to be in the 2026 head coaching cycle, which we can certainly talk about tomorrow. There is someone who voted for him. Yes. Interestingly, in this one, everyone voted for a coach on their own staff
because
they
don't know any of the other assistant coaches.
Now you're coming after Domofsky too.
I'm coming after Domofsky on many fronts today.
But no question of which coach has the most to prove in the NFC North. Those coaches, of course, are Ben Johnson in Chicago in his first year as the head coach of the Bears, Kevin O'Connell in his fourth year as the head coach of the Vikings. Obviously, Matt LaFleur in his seventh season, the longest tenured head coach in the division in Green Bay. And of course, Dan Campbell, who I think is year five.
They've been through two different Matts already.
Which Matt? No, never mind. Tausch, what's your answer to this question in terms of which of the four NFC North head coaches has the most to prove or is under the most pressure?
So the easy answer for me would be Matt LaFleur, because I think how this offseason went and what last year, the sloppy play and the way the offense struggled, his defense and the decision he made to bring Jeff Hafley in worked. I don't think anybody could sit here and say that the defense was markedly better last year. And I know maybe the stats won't prove it, but the turnovers certainly do. And just the overall vibe, I think that defense was better. The offense was worse. And I don't even know if those stats, the running game was better, but it just never felt consistent. It never felt like this is a juggernaut that could be unrolled. It felt like that when we went into Dallas. We beat Kansas City. We went up to Detroit and won. There were none of those last year. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not telling you I'm right, but it just that was the vibe. And I think Matt LaFleur, you said it, he's going into his seventh year. He's the winningest coach in the history of the NFL through three seasons. Has not gotten it done in the postseason, and now you're looking at it and saying, you know, part of the narrative was if there were only six teams, this team wouldn't even been in the playoffs 2 years, and I think Matt LaFleur would have been on an extreme hot seat. If this team – now, would they have played the Bear game differently had they known they needed it to be a six and get it? I mean, you can have – and would there have been more urgency? I don't know the answer to all of those things. But what I do know is the offense was a lot – sloppier and messier and not as consistent, and there's numerous reasons for that, but it falls at the head and the feet of Matthew J. LaFleur. So from a pressure standpoint, I'd make an argument that it's going to be Dan Campbell and him would be probably at the top of the list. And I think because I respect Detroit, I think I'm going to put Dan Campbell slightly ahead of Matthew J. LaFleur for the most pressure on them. I think the pressure is on. I think Detroit is starting to hear the creakiness of a team's core getting old. I'm not saying they're old yet, but guys get old fast in this league. Things flip quickly, a la San Francisco. Things happen. You go through and you get scarred. And all of a sudden that scar builds up and you don't have the same flexibility. My knee doesn't bend like it used to, and it's only getting worse. It's not getting better. that scar tissue, it really ramps up the pressure because you know, for as I feel this way, I will not feel better next year for a lot of these veteran core players. That, to me, is why the pressure is even more so on Dan Campbell than maybe Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, and so I was going to say that it's close to, it's a little bit like the quarterback one where we're saying that it's, you know, Love and Goff as who has the most, and then the other two are in the other category. I think it's the same with the coaches. Matt LaFleur's in year seven. His general manager has said it's time to start winning championships. He believes that he has a really good team, as we discussed earlier, and how he answered that question. But Dan Campbell, not only has he had a top-seeded team last year that lost in the divisional round, and a team that was really hot that then lost in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago, but now both of his coordinators have become head coaches. And to me, he has to now also prove that his kneecap-biting mentality, what makes him him, still works without two guys that were such good assistant coaches that they got head coaching jobs, right? And so to me, I give him the edge as well. But I think if we're asking who are the two that are under the most significant pressure or most to prove, I think those are the two. Now, I am curious long term, Ben Johnson's got his work cut out for him. Is he finally going to be that coach who, after all this time of futility in Chicago, with a few exceptions, a few years where they had some success, is he going to be the guy that changes that? He is not, to me, going to be expected to do that. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither was the Colosseum bathrooms, which should have used Kohler services. But I don't know what the expectations are for him in year one. Probably have a winning record would be ideal, and then maybe make the playoffs, maybe a seventh seed like the Packers had in Love's first year as the starter. But he's got the can't-miss prospect that he has been hired specifically to make into the quarterback they believe he's capable of being. So there is pressure on him, too. There's no doubt about it. Kevin O'Connell feels like the one guy that there isn't pressure on. He's shown he's a really good coach. He's won with different quarterbacks now, and now he's got a young quarterback that he's got to get ready to make that jump, too, after basically taking a medical redshirt as a rookie 10th overall pick last year in J.J. McCarthy. Do you agree with that or not?
I mean, I think, listen, man, there's always pressure on all these coaches. Sure. Ben Johnson has the least amount on him, I believe. That is an operation that I think needs to kind of and rebuild and restart. O'Connell's a really good coach. We know that. His team, he's a leader. He's won with Sam Darnold. He's going to get some grace here with J.J. McCarthy. This is going to be more – J.J. McCarthy can't win with this group, with that coaching staff. That would be more of a J.J. McCarthy thing because I think O'Connell showed it with Kirk Cousins and with Sam Darnold that he draws up good stuff and he is a really good football coach. So I think he is easily probably him and Ben Johnson. It's very similar. It comes down to expectation. And I think – I'll be curious if Minnesota feels the expectation of doing better than they did last year. I'm sure that's what initially they'll say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it, but I didn't buy it last year, and I eventually got slapped across the face enough that I'm like, all right, I better buy this. And then I did, and then they got beat in the first round as a wild card, and whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop-de-doo. The pressure will be on Matt LaFleur and Dan Campbell as far as my power rankings go. It's going to probably fall in the same line. Not shockingly, because quarterback and head coach are such an integral part of your success as an organization, I think it probably falls in the same line as how I would rank the quarterbacks.
We're going to play a little Take It to the Bank presented by Associated Bank and supported by Coors Light, since I already did my Associated Bank read. But before we can move forward, Tosh is going to tell us again about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed, I will. Time to upgrade those windows and or doors, but you don't want to spend a fortune? Well, Pella is the best in the industry, has a product line for every budget, and right now you get no interest, no payments for up to 2 years, and if the plan is to wait, guess what? You can do that, still get your windows, and start making your payments 2 years later. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends June 30th. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
We'll get to take it to the bank next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We'll check in on the poll questions as now we have added a second to the rotation. And it's basically the same question. It's just about the coaches in the NFC North. Which NFC North coach has the most to prove in 2025? Ben Johnson, Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur, or Dan Campbell? Interestingly, as of now, Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson tied with the same percentage, 37.8%. I don't agree.
Ben Johnson?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would have said Matt LaFleur and Dan Campbell. I voted for Dan Campbell. He's got 21% of the vote.
I haven't voted in that one. What's the other poll looking like? Is Goffey making a climb or is he stuck?
In the other poll, yeah, Jared Goff has moved up slightly. Which NFC North quarterback has the most to prove?
What are you chuckling about there?
Because he knows what it is. Jordan Love, still the leading vote getter with 463 votes in at this point. 38.7% say he is the NFC North QB with the most to prove. Caleb Williams, 37.8%. J.J. McCarthy, 16.8%. Jared Goff up to 6.7%.
What are you chuckling about?
Because he moved up from 6 to 6.7% of the vote.
I'm genuine. Listen, man, I love this. One of the reasons I love this show is to get the fans' viewpoint, understand where people are coming from, and this isn't to pat myself on the back. I typically have a good vibe. Between doing post games and being out and listening to people, like, I usually have a pretty good vibe on where people are at. And when it's Packer related, I'm really vibed in, and usually I'm going to be pretty close. But the viewpoint, and this to me, and I'm not telling our fans how to think, this to me is us living in the past, man. We all, the Bears and Vikings, the rivalry is hot. The border. We don't have the lovely Upers and a lake separating us. We're bordered up, and I think we are all in on hating the Vikings and hating the Bears. I'm telling you, as fans, it's time to start rechanneling a little bit of where we're at and understanding that Honolulu Blue Squad has come into our stadium and embarrassed us, both by bringing all this Honolulu Blue in and whooping us. So I think we need to, you know, maybe start reevaluating. Like, I get caught up on old sitcoms, mainly because there are no new sitcoms. It don't exist anymore. It's over. All I'm saying is we need to start looking at this from a perspective of the Detroit Lions have eaten our lunch. We have been their sirloin steak. That they're wolfing down and digesting and saying, thank you, Green Bay. I got the Brothers podcast. I'm on the St. Brown podcast getting after saying Green Bay's living in the past, man. Their own players are saying it. I think it's time we start taking the Honolulu Blue and start looking at it saying, this isn't that cute little cuddly deal anymore. These Lions have ripped us apart. And I think these polls are indicative of that.
Time now.
Tell
to take
I'm
it
crazy,
to the
crazy, Jesse. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy. What was the sitcom sidecar there? That was
well, because I always feel our like there was fans a thought that wasn't are looking there. At it from you know, the Vikings have been a thorn in our side. The Bears, the '80s, the Lions have always been that cuddly little. Oh, don't worry about them. They can't beat us. They stink. And for the most part, they hadn't been won a playoff game since JFK got blown away. What else did I have to say? There was a song about it. Remember they hadn't won since, then they finally did. It was the 58 or whatever year it was, and there's a song about JFK way back in the day. You know what I'm talking about, Jason. You do. And those days are gone. The Campbell regime and Holmes, they've done a great job. They're good. Am I right?
Yeah.
The Lions won the NFL title pre-Super Bowl era in 1957. The song you're referring to, of course, is Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire, which does reference JFK, Blown Away, What Else Do I Have to Say? I don't think Billy Joel references the Lions playoff drought in that story, but maybe I missed that part.
No, I didn't say Billy Joel did that. I'm singing the song because Lions fans, when they were searching for that victory, they kept saying, and they went back to the Billy Joel song.
Maybe the Fall Out Boy one that came out 2 years ago referenced the Lions playoff run.
I just think we get so caught up in our deep-seated, passionate rivalry with both the Chicago Bears and Minnesota. And all I'm trying to continue to say is, don't forget, the Detroit Lions have eaten our lunch. And they have. And they're the kings of the North. And it's just a weird thing for me, as someone, when we played, it was a, hey, they literally didn't beat us since 1990. We went 30 blanking years without them beating us at Lambeau/County Stadium. Everybody just took it for granted. Like, oh, yeah, that's cute. Well, they're no longer the take-it-for-granted Detroit Lions. They're just not. What? You guys got laughing gas in your little Green Bay Phoenix studio or what? You're not talking, you're chuckling? Like, what? I don't get what's so funny about this.
You just took us on an unexpected journey there is all. Like, we were ready to play Take It to the Bank, and then you kind of went on this whole Lions monologue.
Einstein, James Dean, Detroit's never got a winning team. Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland.
That's pretty good.
Going through the lyrics.
Now, if you did that in Tom Izzo's voice, I'd be really impressed.
Why? We're probably going to end up pushing
Alabama
Take It to the Bank.
Cruise yeah. Chef. Trouble in the Suez. Dan Campbell needs to win now.
Gotta get Goff in there.
He's lost both coordinators, and there's lots of haters. Tell us about Coors Light, would you?
I would love to. Coors Light, what a Father's Day weekend. It's getting warm. Summertime is here. And whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or just need a moment to chill, crack open that Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. It's very nice. Three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged because it is made to chill. And it's one of my favorite things is to just sit back. 102 calories, Coors Light, made to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado. Look at that cloud structure. Isn't that just an amazing cloud structure in that Coors Light
asymmetrical.
Picture? Yeah, beautiful.
Whoa, Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Let's go, baby, go, go, go!
We will check back in on the poll question, see if anything has changed there. But it's time now for Will Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Couple of things to bring up from the Father's Day weekend shindig that we went to yesterday afternoon.
Up north, or did you stay in town?
We went up to Fond du Lac.
Okay.
Hung out with Becca's side of the family on Father's Day. Saw my mom and dad on Saturday. Had a nice weekend, fun-filled weekend celebrating Father's Day. So my brother-in-law, Chris, claims to be a big NHL fan.
Oh, boy.
He wants us to talk more hockey because
hockey!
The Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers are potentially on back-to-back two of the greatest Stanley Cup finals of all time.
Yeah, Florida's just better.
It would appear so.
Edmonton's
got a nice
two
Saturday.
Stars, and Florida's just a lot better.
But
what on earth is Boston trading Marchand? Like, what are we doing here? The guy's an absolute stud. Like, well, you don't trade away studs unless you're forced to. And now they basically handed the Panthers a chip. What are they doing?
Just a Boston thing, trading Devers yesterday, too. Anyway. Yeah. Chris doesn't watch the Stanley Cup final games.
Sounds like an avid fan.
He's a fan of the Winnipeg Jets, and when they get eliminated, and he says, just like the Packers, when they get eliminated, he doesn't watch the rest of the games.
Hmm.
He said he hasn't watched a Super Bowl in a number of years.
About 15 years.
Yeah. Well, he said 7 or 8.
Not a while.
Can you call yourself an
JFK.
Avid fan? No. Well,
been a while. I believe it's Stained, if I'm remembering my early 2000s rock. Go ahead.
Can you call yourself an avid fan of a sport if you're not even watching the championship of that sport? You're just catching the highlights of it the day after.
I think I like Chris. I like where his head. I like his moxie.
Kind of reminds me of you watching college basketball.
No, you
jib.
No, you cannot. I love the sport. It's a passion of mine. Winnipeg never makes the playoffs, so I don't even watch the playoffs. No, you're a Winnipeg fan, not a hockey fan.
They were, and in fairness, Winnipeg's been one of the best teams in the league the last 2 years. They just can't get over the hump. They can't even get out of the conference semifinals.
Yeah, keep climbing that mountain. Get those ice picks. Keep working. No, the answer is no. You cannot call yourself a big-time NHL fan if you don't watch the Stanley Cup. You could say you're a Winnipeg Jets fan, and that's cute, but I don't know how you can make that correlation.
The Winnipeg Jets conversation has brought the Clinkster into the chat.
Oh, I bet it has.
On the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Marshy is having one of those spectacular playoff runs. He is 37. So is that why they traded him?
But Boston a couple years ago had like one of the all-time regular seasons in the history of the world, and they got beat. And I don't know if they just haven't bounced back. Is that shirt getting a little uncomfortable? You're like itching and scratching, and
yeah, I still have not adjusted to the lack of a hoodie. It's just I don't like where it clumps,
clumpy. Yeah, he's 37. I'm telling you, he does not look like he's slowing down. He's winning. He's jumping these face-offs, and he's getting goals out of it. It's amazing what this 37-year-old has done and helped this Panther operation. Probably going to repeat for the championship up there in wherever they play.
Whoa, Nelly!
Are they in Edmonton next, or are they down in South Florida?
They are in South Florida for their next game, which I think
nothing
is Wednesday night.
Nothing says Stanley Cup championship like South Florida.
Sunrise, Florida.
Michael Klink also adding, I agree with Chris because he apparently also largely tunes out.
He's
when
a big Winnipegger. Yep.
The Winnipeg Jets have been eliminated. I can see how fans tune out after their team is done. Do most NFL fans do that?
No.
No.
I don't think so. Like, I watch the games no matter what if the Packers aren't in it.
The Klinkster also proclaims Boston's window is closed.
No, yeah.
I don't know enough Klinkster's about the right. NHL to be able to speak to that.
I'll agree with Klinkster. He's right.
Whoa, Nelly!
Another Father's Day debate. What does 40% chance of rain actually mean?
Don't even get me started with this.
It's too late now.
This is why Vince Lombardi should have been a meteorologist. He wouldn't have put up with that.
So
it demanded accountability.
The hell's going on out here? Cumulus clouds are supposed to be 68% rain.
I'm asking this question not for the interpretation of a 40% chance. Like, when you hear any 90% chance of rain, 30% chance of rain, The debate at the family gathering yesterday was, does that mean there is a 40% chance at any point during the day that it will rain on that forecasted day? Does it mean that 40% of the area included in the forecast is likely to see rain, like a pie chart? Or does it mean 40% of the time it will be raining? And the other 60% it won't be.
It means there is a 30% probability that it will rain at any given point within the forecast area. It doesn't mean it will rain for 30% of the time or that 30% of the area will get wet. Does that help you?
No, actually, because the definition I saw yesterday was different than that. What's your source?
Royal Meteorological Society.
I just go of the belief it's not going to rain. If it's over 60%, pack one of those rain jackets.
Ponchos.
Otherwise, just go about live your life. Period.
So, like, we're going up north this weekend, and almost every day it says 40% chance of rain.
Yeah, it won't
we
rain.
Weren't sure what
You'll
to make
fine.
Of that.
Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy yourself. You'll be fine.
Now, and then when it rains.
With that said, there's many times, because I've said when we go on vacation, I don't plan for all that. Issues arrive. But just be ready to handle those issues when they come up. But just live your life as if it's not going to rain. I think that's the motto of meteorologists.
That's your motto. We know that.
Live your life. Feel your feelings.
Whoa, Nelly!
All right, back to sports.
The game room is closed.
A big NBA trade over the weekend.
Boston?
No, the Orlando Magic.
Bring
and
out your mug.
Memphis Grizzlies.
Get your mug out.
I was ready.
Okay, good.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a couple
legit
other
saw
players.
That, and I thought, yeah. I guarantee Jesse's going to be Mug City USA at some point. I don't know when.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a couple other players, and two first-round picks go to Memphis, and the Orlando Magic get Desmond Bane.
That's great.
Goes from
literally the most predictable thing we could have done on the show today.
Memphis to Orlando, where he will be Robin to Paolo Banchero's Batman.
This is interesting on a bunch of fronts to me.
NBA insider Mark Tauscher, what you got?
I'm not an insider. I'm an enthusiast. I'm an observer. But what this tells me is Orlando thinks that they're ready to win. They went through their growing pains, and they are now believing that they can make the next jump in an Eastern Conference where Boston was inevitable, and that is gone. Mm. They're going to trade pieces. Cleveland has got to kind of reboot. Orlando thinks that they are going to make a big jump. It also tells me Memphis is probably going to break that whole thing down. Fired the coach. They did that. I don't know what they're going to do with Ja, but locally, why I found that interesting. I think it ended up being four first-round picks or getting in the mix and a swap.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean for Giannis?
It means, Giannis, you should get 15 first-round picks. And I'm not even joking. I know you won't, but it should be 15. Dude, Rudy Gobert got six. Rudy Gobert. It also tells me, what the hell was Dallas doing getting rid of Doncic for one? Like there, so it just this rippled like 15 different ways for me, but it tells me the Bucks don't even think about getting rid of Giannis until he forces your hand. But if he does, you better ask for two planets. I want all
Pluto
your rights. I want all your rights on Mars. And I heard some people say I want all your minerals. I want 15 first-round picks. I thought all that was funny, but in essence, it better be the Hall of Halls of Hall. If you're going to end up moving him, because if this cat, Bane, is getting four or five first-round picks, Giannis is triple that if nothing. Is.
Yeah, I agree with Tausch again, but I thought I had seen some reporting from our guy, Windy, that the smart money now is very clearly on Giannis staying put. Did I misread that, Jess?
I'm sorry. I got distracted reading texts about the forecast because now there's conflicting answers there from what you said and what I said.
Mm.
So I wasn't paying attention.
National Weather Service says...
She says 40% of the models ran for those conditions. Input result in rain.
But so that means it's 40% likely to rain, or 40% the model
the
says.
The models say we've over these conditions probability is 40%.
To me, if it's not over 75%, I don't think it's raining. That's how I look at it.
From the National Weather Service,
weather.gov. Show Shortino, call in, give us some scoop. All right, Jason.
He's
go
a
ahead.
Golf guy now,
Chuck.
Chuck, I saw him at the AmFam. Chatted with him for quite a while, actually.
Okay,
him and Rob Hernandez. Mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday. Highs in the upper 60s. What does 30% mean? The probability of participation describes the chance of precipitation at a particular point over a certain period of time. So, in the example above,
was that a
above,
real tongue twister, or are you just
it was?
That?
Wow,
was a tongue twister.
I was sitting there listening and not really listening.
A lot of peas.
But in the YouTube comments, Chris and others are saying it means 40% of the area is going to get rain.
40% of what area?
No offense to the YouTubers.
Oh boy,
but I'm going to go with
carefully.
But I'm going to go with the National Weather Service.
But what does it mean?
I'm getting there. You were pointing out my tongue twister.
Well, you were rambling there, my friend.
It was hard.
Blah, 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 blah. All right.
In the example above, there's a 30% chance that at least 1/100th of an inch of rain will fall at the point for which that forecast is valid over the period of time given.
All right. I have, I am not... I always tell you guys, don't complain about a problem if you don't have a solution. Do I not? Is that not one of our staples of this show?
And your solution is rain?
If I may.
1/100th of an inch.
I want to get rid of this. I want to get rid of this foolishness, okay? And I am going to go. I want the meteorological weather department, whoever that might be, I want them to go to Smokey the Bear. I want there to be a thing. Rain, probable rain, or no rain. It's a three-tiered deal. Flip the arrow and Smokey the Bear the weather. I am done with this 22% of this. Smokey the Bear, I know, hey, there's a moderate chance of fire. I don't need it to be, it's 22.5% of maybe a percentage of cover. Hey, if it's over 50%, there's a 50% opportunity it's going to rain. Hey, it might rain today. All right, thanks, Smokey. But now we can't call that Smokey. We got to call him Rainy, and we got to come up with a different animal. I just wanted to give you a model of what I want. Three things: rain, no chance. There's a pretty good chance. If it ain't over the pretty good chance, keep it at no rain, and people got to deal with it. Now,
and then when it does rain, what does that mean?
What is it now?
So what? I mean, you could do the NFL injury report model, and you could do.
No, I just said Smokey the Bear.
Well, the injury report model is essentially the same thing: probable chance, doubtful chance, for sure rain.
No, three. Just give me three. Smokey the Bear.
I like Jesse's model better.
Well, of course you do. You've always had something against Smokey. I don't know what your deal is. You don't like Smokey. Smokey's been doing it for a long time. I think we can all agree this thing could be simplified in a way that we don't have to sit here and start getting into landmass versus 1/100th of an inch of rain. Is it going to rain or it ain't going to rain? There's a chance. Oh, there's a cell moving in. All right, great. So,
right, yeah, but they're
Smokey,
predicting
it
for tomorrow.
Click.
Right, but they're not
monsoon
looking.
Coming. Thanks, Smokey. I'm glad there's a monsoon coming, and I know. That's what I'm looking for from Smokey and Chuck Shortino and the rest of the meteorological world that we live in.
What I'm looking for from you is American Family Insurance.
For almost 100 years, they have been committed to making life better, and they have been a proud partner of our show, Wilde and Tausch, for a long time. With the right home and auto protection, make sure that you're free to enjoy your dreams, because American Family Insurance is committed to making your life better. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com.
Chris in the YouTube comments confirms they've changed the definition. I just looked it up during work, and it says what Wildy is saying. But I know I saw a couple of years back that it meant the percentage of the forecast area would get rain. Proves weathermen don't have to be right, and just change the definition if it proves it has flaws.
No, we don't have to attack the weather people.
I think he's being very. I think he's right, though. I think it's
Smokey.
Injury reports. Yep. Injury reports.
Doubtful chance of rain, but not
it's
entirely.
It's so funny that you guys say that, because Jason has complained and railed against the new injury report system for years.
I'd still like to have probable as part of the equation, though. Probable rain, questionable rain, doubtful rain.
They're going to go questionable
definitely
every
rain.
Day then, so they're never wrong.
No.
You can't have it. You got to be more, let's get to it.
Rain has officially been ruled out for Saturday. We are
there you
good
go.
To go.
Boom.
Okay.
Well done.
I get up. As long as you're definitive about it, yes.
But they're not, like Jair Alexander on the injury report, they're not going to be definitive of that all the time. Because they don't know. It's hard to predict the weather, Tausch.
You can't go Belichick and put a tornado as questionable every week and then be like, well, it could. It's like, you can't play that way.
Smokey. I don't hear anybody complaining to Smokey. I don't. When's the last time somebody complained about Smokey the Bear?
I feel like the weather is harder to predict than what
fires?
The conditions are for fires to occur. He's not predicting the fires are going to occur. He's giving you the likelihood of it occurring if you are not thoughtful
What is your deal against Smokey? You have more grudges. The fact you're holding a grudge against Smokey the Bear is an all-timer now. I don't get it. I don't mind it, but I don't get it.
We're going to wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
The schedule, as we all know, is very challenging, daunting, however you want to describe it.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
He wants guys who want to jump at the opportunity to play against a schedule like that.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around.
All right, we're almost out of time, but before we go, Jesse, where do the two polls stand before we say goodbye?
So our first poll, which was which NFC North quarterback has the most pressure or most to prove in 2025, Caleb Williams is now leading with 30.
Has overtaken.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
38% man. Caleb Williams, 37% Jordan Love, 19% J.J. McCarthy. Goff's down to 6%.
Oh, I just don't get it. Hey, 5.9. I don't have any problem being wrong. I don't get it.
And then the NFC North head coach with the most to prove, Ben Johnson, with 41%.
Did Waddle and Sylvie get a hold of this poll and put it down
no.
there?
No. LaFleur, 33. Dan Campbell, 19.5. Kevin O'Connell, 6%.
All right. Well, we'll have to argue about the final results tomorrow. But Jared Goff, not under nearly as much to prove or much pressure as Tausch thinks he does. That's it for us today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.